Part 1. The Lord's Leading to Jehovah Shammah by Rajmani. Chapter 1. The Oxen Stumbled. The Due Order by Rajmani. 1 Chronicles 13 1-14. 1 Chronicles 15 13-15. We are going to see through the reading of the above texts, the great plan of God, which He desires all His saints should know who are eager to serve Him. Before entering into the subject proper, I like to give an introductory message to prepare every hearer to come into the theme of the message. In the year 1958, after 17 years of our separated assembly life in this place called Jehovah Shammah, we wanted to go deeper into the work of God and wanted to open a campaign called Life in Christ Campaign, which was to take place from August 1958. This has been the burden in our heart for a long time. We have been waiting on the Lord for His time. As we are about to enter now into a new phase in our assembly life, we are bringing before you certain important divine principles, the observance of which is absolutely necessary if we should advance further in this great task of the Lord, which He has entrusted to us. We are merely readjusting ourselves due to the incoming of a large number of new brothers and sisters into the assembly in the past few years. They are not fully aware of the stand this assembly has taken in the midst of a large number of denominations around us. Also, in the course of the march of this assembly for the last 17 years, the vision has been somewhat loose and disturbed. Trust as we do in a big procession, we are just stopping to readjust and rearrange ourselves before we proceed further and not in any respect changing our vision the Lord has given unto us. This is the simple explanation. There is absolutely nothing else back in our minds. We are concerned with ourselves and not with others. If we understand this, we will never misunderstand one another. I know some of the brothers and sisters who are young in faith, and those who have come recently are a little perplexed and disturbed when they heard our attitude towards the denominations after the great campaign of Brother Billy Graham in Madras in the year 1956. Many who professed repentance and received new birth did not choose to have fellowship with Believers' Assembly, but on the other hand, went to their old churches and fell back to their old life soon. This was mentioned occasionally in the messages at Jehovah Shammah, which also concluded the faulty church order as dead works and contrary to the Word of God. Child baptism was condemned. That became a wounding message and could not be easily received by newcomers in general, and in the coming campaign in particular. I sympathize with them and counsel them not to be unnecessarily agitated. You are all babes in Christ, you need the sincere milk of the Word of God to grow. You cannot understand the deep things of God. I know you have the Bible with you, and you are regularly reading them diligently. But it takes time to understand the truth. It grows with you. So your position is that of a student or, in biblical term, a disciple. You must be content to sit and learn before you can decide things for yourself. It has become a fashion in these days for the young believers to say, "I am not going to listen to any man. I will do as the Lord leads me." You are quite right, but you are now too young to do that. You can't avoid men as long as you are on the earth. It is God's order that men should teach men God's ways. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, make them disciples, baptize them, and teach them. So then, my dear friends, this teaching job is entrusted, and that is the due order. If you disregard it, one day you will stumble. So, I humbly request you to be ready and willing to learn in all lowliness of mind from those who have the care of your souls. Now I have a word for sisters too. I approach this subject with fear and trembling lest my loving advice be misunderstood. In my 62 years of sojourn on this earth, I have learned to fear two things above all, the wrath of God and the wrath of women. It is a serious subject. I can't talk of this subject with liberty. God has honored them, and we must honor and respect them. When men have failed, God has used them. They have played a great part in the birth and growth of this assembly. What the assembly is today is mostly due to the prevailing prayers of these dear sisters. What I am going to say to these dear ones is only in the nature of gentle and loving reminder. God has sent you in this world as women. Please remain as women. That is the due order. If you attempt to take the place of men, you will stumble. God has definitely and deliberately restricted and limited your activities and services in the Church of God. When you keep yourself within that limit, what a blessing and fruitfulness you give to the Church. Not that you are given a subordinate position as a mere believer. There is no male or female with God. He has assigned to you specific kind of work and He expects you to do that work faithfully. Women have no independent status in the Church of God. Eve was created as helpmate for Adam. That is exactly the woman's position in the Church. God has blessed you with such rare gifts like tenderness, grace, love, sympathy and beauty, which men do not possess in full measure. Your contribution through these divine characteristics glorifies and enriches the work of God in an assembly. But when you overstep your limit and act as men do, you stumble and cause the assembly to stumble. I will give you just one verse to show how God views it. Isaiah 3:12, women rule over them. This is the expression God uses to show His contempt towards the men of Israel. Ah! Then look at this picture, how glorious and how graceful is Martha as she is serving in the house of Simon. Look at Mary, what a beautiful spirit-uplifting subject to see Mary quietly and humbly seated at Jesus' feet listening to His word, breaking the alabaster box, anointing His feet with her hair. Don't you smell the fragrance of her anointing oil even after 2,000 years? Ah! You sisters, that is your place in the Church of God. But to sit at the table with Lord Jesus Christ was given only to Lazarus. But that is not the end of the story. Hear what the Lord says concerning your ministry. Verily I say unto you, wherever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Matthew 26:13. When we all stand before the Lord, I tell you sincerely, many of you dear sisters will get more reward than men here. This is just a piece of counsel and advice for your future guidance. Now let us come to our subject proper, the oxen stumbled. Poor David was in great distress. He longed for the Ark of God to come into their midst and his desire was to give the first place to the Ark of God. His desire was good and the motive was pure. It was done in all sincerity and with all his heart and soul. Why then the tragedy? He could not understand. He was first displeased. He left the Ark of God in a Gittite house, Obed-Edom, midway and returned home perplexed. The Philistines were laughing at him. I could imagine David spending sleepless nights on his palace terrace. One question kept tormenting him. How shall I bring the Ark of God home to me? Ah! My friends, that is the dilemma of the entire Christian world. How can I give my Lord a central place in my life, in my family and in my congregation? How can I bring Christ to Madras and to my nation? That is what is worrying the minds of many sincere servants of God. Just as David, they are spending sleepless nights like David. They began with great enthusiasm, but they have come to a place of standstill and disruption. They are perplexed. They are crying to the Lord, "Why is it so, O Lord?" And thus desiring a solution. David looked at the sky and saw the glorious testimonies they bear unto God. How fresh and strong are their testimonies! Suddenly his eyes began to open. He remembered that the glorious testimonies of the heavenly bodies were due to their moving according to the commandments of God. He said to Adam, "Have dominion over the whole earth." He said to the sun, moon and stars, "Sun, rule over the day. Moon, rule over the nights." While Adam disobeyed his word and failed, the heavenly bodies obeyed his word and have continued to obey him, showing forth his glory. Light dawned upon David. He ran downstairs, opened the book of law and saw everything clearly. Through the due order, he had discovered a great truth. No wonder he sat down and wrote his great discovery beginning with the 19th Psalm. See how he concludes, verse 12, "Cleanse thou me from faults committed in secret." It means faults committed in ignorance of the word of God. From this time onwards, David has only them all his life. The commandments of God, the word of God. All his psalms are full of it. The Lord has taught him that lesson through the bitter experience in the threshing floor of Chido. The oxen stumbled because the Ark of God was not being brought home in Lord's due order. This is the only solution to all the perplexed, sincere servants of God in these days. Turn to the work of God and to the testimonies of Jesus. Let us listen carefully. From the Garden of Eden to this day, the devil's clever plan to sabotage God's work is to tempt the people of God away from His word. The result was ruin and chaos. Great movements appear suddenly, and they do great things. Many seem to be born again, and in short while, like the flower of the grass that withereth, the movements fade away, leaving in their trail much ruin and chaos. We have in the Salvation Army a pathetic warning: what a glorious work they did in the beginning. But within a little more than a generation, the oxen stumbled. Their candlestick has been removed, and they have now sunk into a body of social workers. Why? They disregarded the due order of the Word of God and began to use New Cart method. Oh! If only thou had hearkened to my commandments, then thy peace would have been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Isaiah 48:18. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as strange things. Hosea 8:12. David saw his mistake and at once humbled himself and began to act in accordance with due order. What a glorious triumph he had! Read 1 Chronicles 15th chapter. He brought the Ark of God into the city of David. That was victory. God was glorified. How shall I bring the Ark of God home to me? Humble yourself, look into the Word of God, discard all earthly ways and means, however good and grand they may be and whatever it may cost you, boldly begin to serve Him after the due order of His Word. Read carefully God's advice to Joshua in chapter 1:1-9. Dear saints of God, who gather in this assembly, please note that this assembly has a sacred duty to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude 3. The Word of God says that an assembly is the ground and pillar of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15, from Abel downwards, martyrs died contending for the due order of God. Streams of the martyrs' blood has been flowing in the battle for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. The Lord has established a testimony here in this place, house called Jehovah Shammah, with this end in view, the Word of God at any cost. It was for this purpose the Lord separated a company of people from the denominations to demonstrate what great things the Lord could do if we only stick to the due order. It will be interesting and edifying for many of you to know the awakening, the travail, the birth and growth of this assembly. In the year 1924, when Brother Rajmani came to Madras from the south, as he says, there was nothing worth mentioning till the day of spiritual awakening. There was, however, one exception. D. Handley Bird, the grand old mighty warrior of God, was preaching the gospel in rented buildings in a small way. He used to parade Marina Beach with hanging from his neck, followed by a few young men similarly equipped. That was the only sign of the work of God. There were not much signs of the Pentecostal movement. A few here and there were doing something. It was at this time that the Lord began to stir the hearts of some of them. As one who has been closely connected with this movement of God, he cannot avoid making it almost a personal testimony. Kindly therefore do not think that he is blowing his own trumpet. There was death and darkness has covered the whole of Madras city and grows darkness over the people from one place of worship to the other. He wondered and finally gave it up in disgust. Seashore was a place of worship for him. This continued for some time. Suddenly there was a death in his family. His younger sister died and that shocked his whole family. The result of this death was that all the members of the family knelt down and gave themselves for the service of God. They drew up a solemn document before the Lord and the angels, and they made everyone sign the document, including his brother-in-law, husband of the dead sister. Tithes were faithfully contributed every month, and through this money they began to serve God, adopting New Cart method. Instead of doing the work themselves, they appointed an evangelist and made him do the work for their sake. But the oxen stumbled in a short period, and the whole thing ended up in confusion. This broke their heart. It was at this time a few sincere servants of God from Travancore visited Madras, and as a result, a band of young men gathered together to preach the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. It was in the year 1935, A large number of young men from various denominations cooperated, and a glorious work was done until 1938. A pandal was put up in a compound of big house in Veppery, and great crowd used to gather at every meeting. At the end of the first year, an anniversary meeting was held. A great report of the work of this group was read out at that time. It should be remembered it was in 1935, long before Jehovah Shammah and long before anything was heard of Brother Bhakt Singh. This good work was carried on in ever-increasing strength till 1938. Let us now plunge into the most important happening which gave them a rude shocking. Hitherto, they sincerely believed that the denominations in which they were having fellowship were perfect. Not a shadow of doubt they had. They looked upon the pastors and bishops with reverence and respect. How much cooperation they gave to the churches! The Veppery Gospel League and its activities in preaching the gospel in the streets of Madras were the main report of Bishop Waller in the Diocesan Magazine. Then again they collected the pastors of all denominations and began to organize huge conventions in Madras. All work was grand and marvelous in the conventions. Many glowing reports of the conventions were published in the Diocesan Magazine. They were doing almost the same thing which some of our dear servants of God are doing nowadays under the title, God Calls the Church. Then suddenly and without any warning, the oxen stumbled. Like David, we stood stunned for some time and then began to act with all our energy. Because the pastors of the leading congregations under the instructions and orders of the bishop in Madras were preaching against the verbal inspiration of the Bible, virgin birth of Jesus, the second coming, the atonement of Jesus Christ, other foundation truths were doubted, and even many miracles of Jesus were denied. Thus, the struggle began, leading them step by step for separation from the denominations. It was a story of much weeping and tears. Thank God that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.